One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away. For he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
The blessed Savior wrote my name when I was born again. He wrote it when he saved my soul. He wrote that I have made right my every sinful wrong. He wrote my name on heaven's roll.
He wrote my name,
way up
in glory.
Land.
He saved my soul, from sin and shame. I never shall.
Yet the
change
the blessed Savior wrote my name.
If I should live 1,000 years upon this earth below, I never could forget the day that Jesus wrote my name within the blessed book of life and took my many sins away.
My sins away.
He wrote my name,
way up
in glory.
He saved my soul,
from sin and shame.
I never shall.
Yet the
day the blessed Savior wrote my name.
If I should live 1,000 years upon this earth below, I never could forget the day that Jesus wrote my name within the blessed book of life and took my many sins away.
My sins away.
He wrote my name,
way up
in glory.
Land.
He saved my soul, from sin and shame. I never shall.
He wrote my name, way up in glory.
He saved my soul,
from sin and shame.
So he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now then, what kind of person are you supposed to be? He said, I want you to be a workman. And I want you to rightly divide the word of truth. The word of truth is to be divided properly. The Bible is the right word. Now, the devil can divide it, but he doesn't divide it rightly, see? You divide the word right. Now then, one other verse before we go to a text I want to leave with you tonight. And this is found in, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, that's the challenge. Now, these two texts I'm going to give to you, that one and one more, and I'm going to leave them with you. He said, if you name the name of Christ, you know what that means? You say, well, I'm a Christian. That means you've named the name of Christ. You got your new name. I'd rather have that than Roloff anytime. I mean, Roloff's my physical name, but that's not my main name. My main name is Christian. I mean, I'd rather be a Christian than anything I know in this old world tonight. And so, I'm a Christian. Now, I'll just be a Roloff a little while longer, and then I'm going to roll off. I mean, I'm going. But I'm going to be a Christian forever. Amen? See, I'm going to be a Christian forever. I'm going to be a Christian when I get home. and I'm roll off in time, I'm a Christian in eternity. But, let me say this, if you do not become a Christian in time, you'll never become a Christian in eternity.
Oh.
You remember what I said on the radio the other day? And maybe at the service, no exit out of hell. No exit. We've got to put up exit signs over here in the building. Oh, that old building, it's looking so good. I long to see all the carpet laid and the bed put in. And listen, some great things have been happening. God's reminded us that He hadn't forgotten. And about the provisions and about the some of the things we need in the home. And the Lord is dealing and working and fixing up some things. And I just believe that a new building ought to just have new furniture and ought to have fine things in it. And I believe the girls ought to just keep it just like that. I mean, just keep it like that. I mean, just as neat as a pin and neater. And so, and the Lord is saying to us tonight, I want you to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. But listen, when you get there, I want you to, who name the name of Christ, to depart right quick from iniquity. You know what iniquity is? That's crookedness. That's the wrong kind of living. I want you to depart from iniquity. Now then, are you ready for the next text? And we're going to close. It's found over in 1 John, and it's chapter 3. Chapter 3. And it's verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Now listen to me real careful as we close the message. The Son of God was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. Now then, one of these nights we're going to have a service, and I'm going to let you tell them what the works of the devil are. But I believe, now that's what we're doing out here. But you see, Brother Raymond cannot destroy the works of the devil. He might punish you for refusing to give up the works of the devil. I might shame you for committing the works of the devil. But there's only one that can destroy the works of the devil, and that's Jesus. He destroys the works of the devil. We try to keep the works of the devil out. But I believe you'd agree with me, and we'll just say it briefly, that cigarette smoking is a work of the devil. Either the Lord made the cigarette or the devil made the cigarette. But the cigarette kills people and they die with lung cancer. And so evidently the devil did it, because the devil's the daddy of death. There never would have been any death till sin came. And the wages of sin is death. So we're to destroy the works of the devil, so the cigarette's got to go. And you know, sometimes people come in here and they think because they can't smoke in our buildings and trailers and all around that we're a little narrow-minded. Well, we'll just have to plead guilty and go on. Sometimes, you know, and it wouldn't make any difference. I mean, my brother E. Dale, bless his heart. Oh, I went to see him, and I love him, and I pray for him. And I wrote him a letter, and I told him, I said, E. Dale, I'm praying that you'll get them cigarettes before they get you. I really am. But I tell you what, if he came out here, do you think I'd let my brother smoke in this place? Not on your life. Not on your life. I'd say, E. Dale, son, you'll have to move across the road, because these girls, I mean, these are little girls. We got an intensive care ward. You don't smoke in an intensive care ward. Amen? Are you listening? I mean, you just don't. You go in an intensive care ward where somebody's gasping for their last breath, I'll guarantee you won't light up your stinking pipe or cigar or cigarette in the intensive care ward. And we've got an intensive care ward out here, and you're not going to do it out here either. You say, well, you'll hurt somebody's feeling. Well, they'll all hurt some of our girls, so we think more of our girls than we do their silly feelings. And I didn't study when I said that either, did I? And I tell you what, I don't care if it's Grandpa or Aunt Emma or Uncle John. You just put it down. They come out here, they're going to respect this place. I mean, God didn't give us these trailers and these buildings to be filled up with a bunch of poison smoke. And some of you think it's a little thing, and every once in a while I can hear somebody out in radio land saying, well, Brother Roth, don't you have anything else to preach? No, not until we can help you get rid of that. We'll just stay with it. Time for God's people to be clean. It's a work of the devil. And if Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, and I'm going to follow Jesus, and if the Father said, and if they said, as the Father sent me in the world, even so send I you, then it's my business too. People say to me, it's none of your business the way I live. Oh, it sure is. I mean, what do you think I'm here for? I mean, why? And I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm trying to help people. I want to help somebody. Well, listen, I'll guarantee you this. If cigarette smoking would glorify Christ and win people to Christ and get them delivered from sin and make them a greater Christian, I'll guarantee you the next trip to town we'd come back with a train load of cigarettes. I'd buy them. I'm telling you the truth. We'd get them by the carton. We'd bring them out here and, boy, listen, this thing would look like his own fire. We'd all be smoking. Old Raymond would have a pocket full, and Ernestine would come out of smoking up a storm, and, man, I'd come out here blowing smoke. But that sounds silly, and some of you are laughing, aren't you? Why? You know it's not right. Some of the worldly church members, some of these loop-legged preachers, preacher, I got it in my Bible here, why he said, why I smoke marijuana myself. And he said, I believe that many of the great religious experiences of the Old Testament and of the Bible were while people were under the influence of such things as marijuana. Stupid outfit. That guy ought to be hung before daybreak. Misleading the people. People call him a leader, you know. Said he's one of the religious leaders. Now, I'll tell you what he is. He's one of the religious misleaders. That's who that goat is. And excuse me, goats downstairs. I apologize. That's what's wrong with our people. A lot of you haven't been preached to. That's the thing. Oh, you come in, you're so proud of your stinking religion. You say, well, I'm an Episcopalian, and I'm a Catholic, and I'm a Baptist, and I've been one, and I've been to Sunday school and church. So what? If it got you in all the mess you're in, I wouldn't brag about it too much. I mean, if it left you in the gutter of sin and defeated and weeping and ready to commit suicide, I wouldn't brag about my religion. I'd confess to God I had something lacking in my soul. And I'd say, Lord Jesus, surely you got something better for me than that. You know what he'd say? Indeed I have. Indeed I have. But I want you to turn loose all them old quack doctors now if you're going to come to the great physician. Old doctor, do good and be good and improve a little and be better and do better. Leave them old doctors alone now and come on over here and let me give you a new birth. Make you a new creature in Christ Jesus, and all things will pass away. And behold, all things will become new. Amen? That's it right there. That's what we need. That's what we want you girls to have. And then you'll have happiness. You'd say, well, I don't know how I could ever be happy in a place like this. Well, let me ask you one question. Have you been happy in the places where you've been? 1,000 times no, you'd say. Well, all right. Why don't you give an opportunity to learn something here? I'll promise you this. Every girl that's ever been saved is happy right here. Happy right here. And there's my little old Kansas sunflower that wanted to come back. And she's just smiling up a storm. And she's grown. She's got sense. I mean, she just thought the thing over, and she said, this is the best place I've ever been. Best place I want to come back. Here's my little old Kansas girl. And she said, I want to come back and stay there the rest of my life. And so I guess we got her for a long time. Yes, sir. But I tell you one thing, as long as they're saved, and both of them been saved since they've been back. You notice that? Both of them been saved. So the Lord knew what he's doing. He brought them back to get their sins washed away, see. Oh, settle for nothing. Settle for nothing less than salvation. And when you have salvation, he said he came to destroy. The Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now then, I'm going to leave the message there tonight. That's as far as we're going to go. And we'll close. But I want to ask you this. What one work of the devil plagues you the most? What is it? Is it lying? Is it stealing? I mean, is it smoke? Is it gambling? Is it... What is the work? Now, whatever it is, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And here's the thing about it. When he destroys the works of the devil, then you begin the works of the Lord in your life. Would you let me read you something? Turn to Jeremiah for our final scripture. Jeremiah, I want to show you what you have to do. And this explains what we're doing here. This is the hardest work we ever do, is to get the people loose from the things that are not right. In chapter 1, Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10. And now, he's calling little old country boy. He's calling little old timid fella. He's calling a fella that nobody on the earth wanted to look like. And he wasn't the president of nothing, but God called him. He called Jeremiah. And verse 6, look at it just a minute. He said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I'm a child. I'm just a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I've put my words in thy mouth. See. All right. Now we're going into the text. This is our closing message right here. See. Can you see or are you blind? He said, see. You know, I got the saddest call, I believe, from a lady. And she said, Brother Olaf, we got a little boy. He's 12. He's in trouble. And his daddy's dead. And his mother's blind. And little old fellow, I tell you, his daddy can't look after him. His mother can't see. And so there he is. And he's in trouble. 12 years old. One dozen. That's all. And he's getting off to a bad start in life, isn't he? But you know what he said? See? That's what he said to Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 16. He said, stand you in the way and see. Look around. See? And he said, ask for the old path. Where's the good way? And walk therein. Walk therein. Now notice, verse 10. See? I have this day set thee over the nations. Well, that's good. He's going to be a national man, national preacher. See, a prophet preaches to the nations. A little minister or a clergyman speaks to his community, his little parish, his little church membership. Never forget when I came to Corpus Christi. I went out here to Perry Place to preach a meeting. Went out there to preach a meeting. And I just kind of got a building out there. I think maybe a school building. I just going to go out there and gospelize a little bit. And a bunch of my people going with me. And we just kind of, rooting around wherever we could to preach. And had a good church here. But we thought, my, get outside of our church. So we went out there about 15 miles. And so I got a call on the phone. And oh, me. He said, I'm Reverend so-and-so. And of course, nobody reverend but God. Of course, he said, Reverend is my name. And he said, I understand that you're coming out here to preach. Well, I said, figuring on it. Got the plans made. He said, do you realize that this is my territory? I said, no, I didn't. I said, who gave it to you? He said, the Ministerial Alliance. They told me this was mine. Well, I said, brother, I got good news for you. It's going to be partly mine from here on. I mean, I'm just coming out there, and if I can help you, I'll be glad to come to the meeting. Now, you reckon where fellas got like that? We got to divide. Listen, old brother Jeremiah was preaching to the nations. I mean, he wasn't just preaching to Texas as big as it is. Man, he said, listen, I preach all over this world. God said, I'm going to give you a nationwide, and I'm going to make you an international prophet. Brother, when old Jeremiah landed, he landed at the International Airport. He didn't land at some little grass strip over here in the back alley. Amen? Praise God, he come in his big old jet. I guarantee you, he landed on the International Airport. Yes, sir. Boy, they got these airports, you fly around old Mexico, they got these entry airports where you come in and enter and so forth. Man, he didn't pay attention to any of those. He just flew over all of them, landed wherever he got ready. And God told him, he said, I set thee this day over the nations, over the kingdoms. Now notice what he told him to do. This is where the work comes in. This is what the average preacher don't want to tackle right here. I mean, he said, first of all, I want you to bring your root plow with you. Man, them roots will get you. You know, them old roots break loose and hit you in the ear, behind the neck, upside the head. Woo! Man, a fellow said, I don't believe I want to be a farmer no more. These roots! Got to root them out! He said, I've set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms to root out! Brother, we're going to have to use the root plow now. Do you know that? Got a bunch of silly, sinful roots that need... That's what we have to do with you girls. That's what y'all don't like, boy, when we get that root plow hold of you. I mean, them old roots begin to come up and they say, they don't like it at all. Never forget a man came up the old city up at Lexington, Texas, Man, he came up there and old brother Bobby McMeans was there. And the man came in and, boy, he had his pocket full of pipes. I want you to know there was pipe stem after pipe stem. I mean, he was loaded with them. I mean, he just had some selection of pipes, you see. And brother Bobby said to him, now, you can cash those in now. He said, you mean... My pipes? He said, yes, your pipes. He said, I didn't know it was going to be like that. He said, I just come down here to get rid of liquor. He said, well, your pipes will have to go also. See? Well, a man 50 years of age, boy, he began to reach up and pull out his old pipes. I mean, he had a pocket full of them. He pulled them out, and he pulled them out. And oh, me, it's like pulling his teeth. Man, he pulled him out. He looks at him. And finally, he got down to one. He got down to the last one. And brother, he said, Brother Bob,
Really, he started crying. Tears was rolling down his face. He said, "Can I just hold this in my mouth a little while?" Huh? Isn't that pitiful? And Brother Bobby said, "No need to make it more miserable." And said, "Just fork it up." He said, "I just want to hold it just between the teeth one more time." Huh? That's funny. You know why? He was addicted to his dirty nicotine. That's what he'd been. Listen, girls, did you know what? That was his oldest pipe. He said, "This is one I smoke." Did you know what you can do? You can run a broom straw down through that old pipe stem and draw out the nicotine and put it in the tomcat's mouth, and he'll go into convulsions and die. The nicotine. You can take that broom straw and rake it through there and get a bunch of old nicotine and shave a tame rabbit's back and put it on that place, and it'll go into his skin and he'll go into convulsions. And then you silly little stupid sweet outfits want to hold a cigarette in your mouth. I mean, how silly can you be in here? How sinful. I mean, committing suicide by the puff. Amen? You're not going to ever do that again. No, sir. Why? Because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and while you're here, we're going to put the root plow to you. And we're going to root it out. We're just going to keep a root until we get a root. All right, that's not all. He said, root out and to pull down. Brother, I tell you what. Got to root it out. So you get the roots, cut the roots, and drag the roots, and then you're going to reach up and get it and pull down the whole tree. Won't be no more fruit if you get the root. Isn't that right? Get that root. As long as there's a root, there'll be some fruit. And the Bible said there's not to even be a root of bitterness. Some of y'all are having a whole hard time getting over your bitterness. So he said, I want you to pull down. Now then, I want you, now after you root out, and after you pull down, I want you to destroy. And then that last verb, he said, I want you to throw down. Just throw it down. Just throw it down. What have you got y'all to throw down tonight? I mean, you got any sin? Just throw it down, he said. Throw it down. And then he gave us two more verbs, and this is it. And he said, I want you to build and to plant. Now, what did we find? You think we're a little unbalanced when we spend so much time with the destructive verbs? He used four. And he only used two, brother. He just said, we're going to build now and we're going to plant. But Brother Raymond, you know good and well, though I guess you've not graduated from anybody's college, and it's not necessary as far as I'm concerned. But I tell you one thing, you've got sense enough to know that you're not going to raise a crop until you do some cultivating. You've got to plow. I'll guarantee that old tractor's got to roll up and down these rows more times while we're cultivating and getting ready than when we're really reaping. You make one trip down that row reaping. That's about it. I mean, you'll go right down that row one time, but brother, you'll go down that row many a time before you get ready to cultivate. And I wish I could get you to see that. Girls, we've got to root out, we've got to pull down, we've got to destroy, we've got to throw down, and then we're going to build and we're going to plant. And how precious it's going to be when we get it all worked out. And we're in the decision-making time right now.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today entitled, Christ Destroys the Works of the Devil. Now to receive this message on a CD, ask for offer number RO2656. Include $10, which helps cover shipping and handling. We'd like to have today's date when you write and also the call letters to this radio station. Here's the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Our special offer for the month of October is Brother Roloff really expressing himself in a very unique way in presenting Bible truths and messages during the preaching ministry. The little booklet's entitled Words Fitly Spoken. And if you would like to have this booklet, ask for offer number RO124. Again, the title is Words Fitly Spoken. It's a booklet of famous quotes with many of his expressions used during the ministry. It's 88 pages long, and I know that if you don't have it by now, you'll want to receive it. Now, when requesting it, ask for offer number RO124 and send in $8. Order by credit card, dial toll-free, 1-800-772-7507, or you can write at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403.
Now, we've had a very difficult summer financially, as many ministries have, and we're trying to catch up with the deficit that we had incurred during that time. So if you can put a gift in the mailbox today, it would be greatly appreciated, and we'll certainly thank you for that. Again, the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, wishing you a wonderful day, and we'll be looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.